Hey, Ben.
Jake.
What's going on, my friend? What a week.
What a week. I'm sure we've got plenty to discuss this week.
Oh, mate, you know, well, usually during our planning meetings, you know, we sort of, you know, go to all corners of the footy and humour worlds and try and find something to discuss. But we don't need to today, but we'll get into that a little bit later. What I did notice is that in our planning sheets, I saw we like to tell a little story off the top.
Yes.
And there was a note of yours on one of them from about maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago that said Hanbury story and was underlined. But we didn't get to a Dan Hanbury story, so I'm in the dark, like all the Magoo's listeners. We have to hear the Dan Hanbury story.
Okay, yeah. I mean, as a bit of context, the reason why obviously you haven't told it is because if you're unfamiliar, Dan Hanbury did his hammy, what, like 2-3 weeks ago now? Which he was.
Is it against Carl?
I'm not actually too sure. Yeah, and he'd be playing some good footy up until then. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I mean, the last couple of seasons when he got traded as well to the Saints, there was a lot of, you know, his body's cooked, he's all done. Like, you know, they shouldn't have picked him up. All this sort of stuff. But the story I wanted to tell was in the off season, Jake. I was not sure if a lot of our listeners are familiar with what they call the Wim Hof method. It's basically this guy from I believe he's Dutch. He has this breathing technique, and you sort of get in these ice baths, and you do this breathing, and the ice baths are really good for recovery and performance and all that sort of thing. Just heard him on a few podcasts, so I decided that I wanted to do one. So I went down to this place in Fitzroy. Shout out to Fifth Element. It was awesome experience. Who do I see there? I see Dan Hanbury at the same thing. So we go through the breathing technique, and you do the ice bath, and we do the ice bath together with me and Dan. Not that we're not mates by any stretch. Although
me and Dan,
yeah, Dan and I. Tell you what though, you got to get down to your togs, right? And I'm standing next to Dan. I'm just sort of this lanky sort of skinny legs, sort of just like dude about to do an ice bath, and then he gets down to his speedos, and I tell you what, the criticism of Dan's rig in terms of, you know, being a little bit pudgy, bit past it, I was like, you know what, this is false. He has really worked on it, and obviously he did his hammy, which is not very good for the story, but
So he was in fantastic nick and ready to go in season 2020 until you shared an ice bath with him.
I shared an ice bath with him, and you got to do this like sort of tribal dance afterwards to sort of, you know, bring your body temperature back. And him and he was with his other mate. I'm not sure if he was a footballer or not. He looked like one, and they were doing this dance. You got to get into it. Like you got to
really Taylor Swift shake it off.
Yeah, real shake it off type setup. And both of them are doing that, and I'm sort of just like, I'll just join in here. And I start doing it with them, and then they both just sort of looked at me like, you can't sit with us.
The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. Magoos.
Benny, off the top, how good. We're both in the top eight. Usually we discuss these sort of things after the show, but this is the Magoos, the top eight edition, top eight only. If your team's not in the top eight, stop listening right now. Because we don't want you, because it's an elite club. You wouldn't get it if you're not in the top eight, but what a time to be alive, Ben.
Absolutely, Jake. You did Sunday evening once again. You know, you're coming up against the Doggies. You boys had an absolutely emphatic win. It was actually
emphatic.
From an Essendon supporter point of view, you hate to see it, but I was like, this is a pretty good brand of footy. So that's pretty high praise from an Essendon supporter.
Ben,
so
would you say that Carlton have saved the game as we know it?
You really put me on the spot there. Have they saved the game, Jake? I don't know. I don't necessarily think the game needs saving. I think that's a media sort of spin, and I don't necessarily agree with it. Absolutely awesome that you kicked over 100 points. But that's enough about me talking about Khan. You were actually the one who wanted to. We're actually doing this nice and early on a Tuesday morning, so you wanted to call this early just so you could get it off your chest.
Oh, they were good, and I mean, you in all seriousness, you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself, because 10 days earlier they put in one of the worst performances that they have in some time against St Kilda. So, but it's good to know that their best is that, if that's their best, because they played a brand of footy, as you said, that was watchable, that was mature. It was a lot of things I think a lot of Carlton supporters have waited a long time to see. So, you know, I don't think that, you know, I can understand the media narrative will be, you know, we're playing Port Adelaide this week. So it's first eighth. It's a top eight clash.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming we're going to do that for the conference call. Haven't seen anything otherwise. but I can see the narrative being that if Carlton don't at least, you know, take it right up to Port Adelaide, that, you know, like, oh, they failed again, this, that, the other. But I think that we need to make sure that now that's our benchmark against, because we aren't a top four side, we're probably not a top eight side. But if we play like that, we can be. So you want to see it a couple more times before you really start to believe it. But 3-3 in a strange season, I think the world's your oyster. So, yeah, we had plenty of pro-Carlton things going around the Twitter sphere, and
plenty of pro-Carlton things, posts so and I stuff, say. So,
which was nice, especially because I've been really critical of the Bulldogs, so all those people can suck it. because they were out-coached, they were out-played, and the world's our oyster, so look out.
Yeah, you hear it, the world's your oyster. And I don't think, honestly, there should be another team in football that should be spoken about at the moment. I don't believe it, that, you know, we should be getting around anyone else. They were great.
As he sips out of the Essendon mug.
Look, that typical Carlton, if you ask me. They always find a way to knock the news out of the Bombers, because either
by playing an attractive brand of football.
Yeah, but I mean indirectly. Like we just the day before get put into the top four with a game in hand. And then, of course, Carlton come out and absolutely smash the Dogs. And it's like, we're not talking about Essendon, we're talking about Carlton now. And obviously 2 weeks...
You don't want to be talked about.
Well, I was going to go on to say that. I would rather go under the radar. Mm. I'd just been a Victorian club, big Victorian club, as you know. It's you actually don't want to be talked about. Like, you still get Joe Danaher stories every other day. And it's like, all right, we get it. He's injured. Like, he's going to come back.
Mm. Speaking of those four big Victorian clubs... And getting ahead of ourselves, can you tell me, Ben, the last year that Carlton, Collingwood, Essendon and Richmond all played in the finals together? They currently all sit in the top eight.
Oh,
so when did they all
eight.
Play finals together?
Jeez, I would go back into the 70s, maybe.
Ooh, close. Well, you're not close. You're in the right decade.
Yeah? 73. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Did I get that right? That?
Yeah, yeah.
Don't tell me I don't do my research.
That's incredible. Well, I just think you guessed your favourite number because of Darcy Parrott. But,
yeah. There you go.
Look at 1973. Good for the competition, isn't it? I mean, round six of 70.
I mean, as you did say, though, we shouldn't get ahead of ourselves. And Essendon too. But particularly Carlton scraping into the eight. We've got the seven teams on the 12 points, including yourselves. So...
Mm.
2 weeks from now, it could be a completely different story, but you could keep climbing too. I mean, those wins that you've had, the wins that you guys have had recently are against teams that the previous week had been the hype around as well. So you've really deflated. It was Geelong, Essendon, and then Bulldogs. So Port Adelaide is actually probably the perfect test this weekend for you guys.
Mm. Yeah, it'll be good to see where they're at. And they're obviously playing with a little bit of confidence too, which can go a long way. But we can also see with Carlton, when the intent's there, everything's good. But then, as soon as the next week, it can be flat again. Mm. So, hopefully, it'd be nice to see a really good performance against Port, who are still flying, as my preseason prediction. So, there was a nice little meme going around the socials, which was pretty humorous.
I did notice that one. Very humorous meme.
Things are going well. Lachie Neal is. I think Lachie Neal's about 250 for the Brownlow now. Port Adelaide on top, Carlton in the top eight. So, you know, it's all good.
Yeah, and let's not mention my prediction because that's starting to slip already.
Yeah, the Suns have lost a 5-game player and the wheels have fallen off.
Yes, but what a good 5-game player he's been.
Oh, just probably the best. Yeah. But what we did see over the weekend, Ben, and you and I don't really or don't try and wade into the technical waters of the AFL world, but the bump was back over the last couple of weeks, and on the weekend it didn't claim someone. Dylan Shields' bump claimed someone. He's been given two weeks, so as you said, we're recording this far too early for my liking on a Tuesday morning, so he's set to go to the tribunal tonight, I believe. So we won't be able to talk about the punishment, but he's been given 2 weeks by the MRO. How did it sit with you?
The whole bump thing is just one big kerfuffle because I genuinely don't know what's worth a week and 2 weeks or no weeks anymore because there is just too many inconsistencies and I want to put my Essendon bias aside. Like when I saw the bump, I thought, oh, that's probably a week at least. I thought he did take him high. Luckily, not injured. But this is what the thing that really bugs me the most is the way the media have so much influence on decisions, and we can act like they don't, Jake, but they absolutely do. When it happened, Richo was commentating at the time with Luke Darcy. They were asking for his head pretty much straight away, and then Robbo last night on 360, basically just playing the emotional game, like saying like how lucky it was he didn't crack his skull, and then Jared was obviously just saying well he didn't actually have any injury from it, and then Robbo played the card that but he was this close to. And it's like, well, now do we play how close you are to getting injured? Does that count? Like, we need a hard and fast rule about it because in the same game, Cam, what's his name, Zerha, he laid out, I reckon, 13 blokes that night, all with bumps and beautiful bumps, which everybody got around, the commentary included. But then one gets a slightly bit high, and it's like, well, we really need to get rid of the bump, or we need to sort of like. Police is better, but it's like, but then they just celebrated a guy who just knocked out Hurley, for example, even though it was fair bump, but still elected to bump when he could have tackled. So it's like, it's just a double-edged sword. My problem with the media, and particularly the way Robbo reported it as well, he comes at it from the perspective of, will a mother let their 10-year-old son play football if we let him get away with this? That's the sort of narrative in the back of his mind. But we can't make those decisions on that. Like, even, I think, was it Teague, I think, came out, or one of the coaches, I think it was Teague, saying that he's noticed that people actually aren't looking after themselves as much as they used to as well going into the footy. So, I know you asked me about Shield specifically, but then who was the bloke who got off? Like, fairly similar bumps. I don't know. It's just... Yeah, I'm not really going anywhere with that. I just think the whole thing needs to be completely restructured and not just like, okay, like let's just do, any high bumps worth a week or something like that. Not like that. We need to come together with the rule makers, the actual doctors and legends of the game. Everybody needs to get in a room together who across all the things that we think need looking at. From health perspective, football perspective, everything. And they need to agree on something because it's a contact sport. People get hit. So, yeah, I hope they get it downgraded to one because of, yeah, anyway, I don't know.
I love that. Hey, I mean, I've gone from saying that we don't really get into the nitty-gritty of that. That is a deep dive, and I really enjoyed that, Ben. But yeah, I would suggest that it gets knocked down to a week. I think it's probably medium impact rather than
the lack of injury. Yeah,
and again, you know, they base it off that, which is we just have to roll with that. We know what the system is, so they have to. Look at that and take that into account. But, you know, you saw Ben Long and Brad Ebert was lucky. I thought that he just clicked.
Yeah, and you saw it in the remorse straight away.
If he could have taken his head off. Like, I also, you know, I understand the remorse straight away, but I also think that, you know, if you do something like that, you can't just, like, you need to be remonstrated with, I think. Like, and as soon as you put your hands up and you sort of just lie there on the ground, like, you can't really... pile into a bloke who's just clipped your mate, who's like just gone limp on the ground. So, I didn't mean it. Well, I think you've sometimes just got to stand up and cop your whack there. And I mean, in modern day, it's not as if someone's going to chin you anyway.
Just but, a bit of ruffle.
I think that, if there needs to be a little bit of that. But, going limp's probably not the way for me. But, Ben Long as well. As Teague sort of said, they aren't doing the contact training anymore. So they you sort of lose your nous in that sense, in terms of protecting your body and when you're going for the ball and those sort of things. So it's definitely something that needs to be addressed. So I couldn't agree with you more, Benjamin. And a couple of things before we get stuck in to the guts of the show. We've got two little updates to give on some non-footballing things. So I'll start. As we know, the loyal listeners of the show know that John Cena followed me on Twitter last week. Assumably he wants to come on the podcast. Flicked him a DM. No response.
Yes.
No response to the DM, but he hasn't read it yet. So he might be working his way through his DMs.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So we are hopeful. We are hopeful that John will see that, respond to that, and come on the show at some stage. And from your end,
the van has been purchased and delivered. And for those who aren't aware, obviously, I bought a secondhand caravan, which is completely gutted. I'm planning on making Studio E out of it because we've been through that many different studios, but we're just a humble little podcast slash sort of, entertainment sort of studio, Jake. And it's I've had a builder come look at it and a Sparky, and all guns are blazing at the moment. Is that what this? I don't think that's the saying, is it? All guns are blazing? Do they blaze? All guns are blazing. We haven't commenced, but we've looked into it. We've looked into how it's going to look. And Jake, it's exciting times for the Magoos and just in general. Hopefully, that could be our first. By the time that gets set up, John Cena might be our first guest.
John Cena live in the caravan studio.
Maybe not live. We might have to zoom in, but. Who knows? Might run into him in an ice bath one day.
The Magoos.
Benny, now time for your favourite segment. It's definitely, it doesn't say much about us, but it's probably our most popular segment. Now that we're using Zoom to connect in these strange times, we're able to cut up a little bit of footage. And didn't it run wild on Instagram, Sam60 last week?
Certainly gets a little bit of traction, Sam60. I think just in life that the most simple things are the best. And as if you're first tuning in at the moment, Sam60 is quite simple. We've got Sam down below there. Give us a wave, Samuel. He's on the beer tonight too. Hello, the pale ale. Does that look like the pale ale you can get for $12 for a six pack? Is that true?
Down it is. Land. The Lorry Boys, $12 for a six pack. So if anyone's out there looking for a bargain,
shout out to Lorry Boys. Anyway, that's genuine sponsor.
No, not at all. You know what's going to be really confusing is the fact that in the first part of the show that we recorded, which we did earlier this morning, we spoke about how it was the morning, and now we've cut to a segment where Sam is drinking. So
it's still morning, though.
No, let the record stay.
It's still 7 a.m.
Nah. When you're on that job, when you're on that JobKeeper salary, you can buy as many six packs as you like.
Oh, it's like the Simpsons episode where you're watching the shade or the sun go past that drinking hour.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't thrown to you just yet, so no Simpsons quotes just yet, Samuel. But to everyone playing at home, it's quite simple. Sam's coming in to us with a topic once a week, just any topic. Jake and I have no idea what he's going to bring up. And you have 60 seconds on the dot. Jake's going to time it to just go through this topic / theory, whatever it is. Sam, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, I'm about to hit start in 3, 2, 1.
All right. Well, it's actually related to the beers. As when I went down to the shops to pick up the beers, I was just, walking down the shops and the streets. And you realize
50 seconds remaining, no time for personal anecdotes.
People, this has nothing to do with footy, but people cross the road or avoid you when you're walking, to avoid the spread of the disease. And then as I was walking, I realized I see this young guy with like a blind person's cane.
30 seconds left.
A blind person's stick is walking down the street. I'm thinking that is because, like, when people avoid you, you think, oh, my God, like, fuck, do I stink? Is there something wrong with me? Are people avoiding me? That is a great way to not only, like, not feel like people – look, I don't know where I'm going with this, boys.
What are you talking about?
No, you're going to let me retake this. Yeah,
no, he's got 2 seconds. He's muted. He's gone. He's done.
He's muted. He's done.
What's he's possibly done. Going on? He's got to be right. We've got to start to vet this segment short. He's now pleading with us for 2 minutes.
For 2 minutes. You can't just double your segment, buddy. You can get maybe
Sam's 120.
Yeah, maybe you can finish the theory for next 60 seconds next week. I'm assuming he was going down the angle.
What did he even accomplish?
With,
all he said was that you need to give people a wide berth so not to spread a contagious disease. That's all he said.
Well, I think what he's saying is he came to the realization today that everybody is actually avoiding Sam, even blind people. So he's saying it made sense when people could see him and they'd walk around him, but even blind people are actually walking around him. So it says a lot about Samuel. Is that? Can we confirm that? No.
All right, I'm going to chuck him back on this because against right. everything that I go for. It's better to be about footy. Yeah. We're on a bit of a delay here. You're unmuted.
It has nothing to do with footy, but all I'm saying is, like, you notice when people avoid you when they're, you know, they're walking across the road and you think, oh, something's wrong with me, but I saw, a young guy with a blind person stick and I thought that's a great way to not get near people and also avoid not looking like a cunt. You can block that out. I'm sorry, but
Jake's grandparents listen to this show, Samuel.
Get a blind person's stick and you won't look like a prick.
Well, unless
what if
you're
he, but isn't he just blind? Was he blind, the person?
I don't think he was. That is my, that's the main point.
You're a brave man to question someone's blindness.
Yeah. I looked into his eyes.
Oh, God.
Well. So you realise that this is a footy show?
Look, man, there's bigger things in the world than footy, all right?
The whole premise of the show.
Of the least important things in life, granted, footy is the most important, but there are more important things out there.
Correct. But
Jake, you should never have unmuted him. He had 60. He didn't get it done, and now you've dived into it.
This, I'll tell you.
I've got your hook, line, and sinker, boys. You want more?
I don't even know what you're talking about. You've just come on a footy podcast and said there's more important things to life than footy, which included pretending someone wasn't blind, but that's a good way to not let someone to walk into
you. Put it this way. There would have been a loophole if your topic was there's more to life than footy. That's at least footy related. It's in the title, but you've just gone about it the wrong way. We might have to get another person on the show. I'm running out of housemates.
But people might get a bit uneasy when people see them crossing the road, other people crossing the road. You're like, oh, God, you know, if COVID's not on their mind, like, oh, people are avoiding me. They've got a problem with me. But if you've got a blind person stick and you just naturally avoid them, people are like, oh, he's blind. He doesn't think I stink or, you know, I'm an idiot. Whatever it may be, it's a natural reason to cross the road or to avoid someone with a blind person stick. Do you see my logic or do you not?
No. Well, that's
that Sam 60 for another week. Sam 60 for another week is wrapped up. He's back on mute. He'll be lucky if he's back next week. Sam, thank you for joining us, I guess.
Oh, beautiful.
The Magoos.
Benny, now it's time for my favourite. No, I was going to say subject. That's not the right word.
Yeah.
What's the word when you have a... it's...
Segment.
Segment.
Oh, I thought you were defining another
word.
It's
a poor start. It's a poor start.
You only say it 8 times a show, so...
Words have ever escaped me. I've had to throw to a guest to help me... to help remind me what it was. So much to my chagrin, the Carlton Port Adelaide game has been overlooked for match of the round, and we have settled for the Geelong Collingwood game, which you know, I guess has a little bit more of a storied rivalry than Carlton Port Adelaide, depending on which way you look at it. But joining us on the show, decided that we're going to have, or you decided, Ben, that we're going to have a winner stays on.
That actually came from Jack himself, because he hit me up during the week and said, surely I get a winner stays on sort of set up. I thought it's not a bad idea until you come up against a Freeman or something like that.
No longer becomes game of the round. So Jack joins us from a Geelong perspective, and new to the show, avid fan, Tom joins us as the Collingwood fan. Thomas, welcome.
G'day, thanks for having me.
You're absolutely welcome. So I think Tom's the only one with the realistic chance to enjoy the winner stays on, because in round eight, Collingwood play West Coast, which could be a big game, but Geelong play Freo, and we don't know anyone who goes for Freo. So we won't be able to make that match of the round, even if it was, but it won't be. So
I know someone. I went to high school with him, Ben. Ben went to high school. I forgot his last name, but he went for Freo. It's the only guy I ever knew that went for Freo, so I'll get him on next week if we win.
Well, you just said you forgot his last name, so that's going to be tricky. But alas, before we worry about next week, as they say in the classics, one week at a time, Collingwood, Geelong, Jack, you must have been tickled pink. I know I was with the result last week over the Lions.
Yeah, definitely, especially with that third quarter. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I was definitely on there thinking very negatively about the first two quarters, especially when Lachie Neale kicked that goal. I was a bit like, oh, here we go again. And then the boys just came out and got it done. I was actually stoked.
There you go. Were you happy with those boys you said would step up last week? Do you think they stepped up?
One of them didn't get a chance in Quinton Narkle. He was out early in the first quarter, and so was Duncan. We managed to still get it done with two on the bench. I said Rada Galea would be huge. He was pretty big. He was good. Yeah. He's starting to clunk him, which I'm pretty happy with.
Rada Galea, sorry, I just completely interrupted you. I reckon Rada Galea's got that bit of almost clunk. He gets so close to so many balls and just sort of doesn't swallow them all, but you reckon that's changing?
Oh, the tide's turning. He's starting to hold a few more. They used to just straight out of the palms, and he's starting to relax the wrists, and he's starting to full on take them now. So he's full on massive for us.
Yeah, he's got the W.
Yeah. Oh well, that's how I teach all the juniors when I was kicking goals at under-19s and absolutely killing it down for Montmorency.
Stay away from the kids with a beer would be my advice, Jack. Thomas. We'll get to your Pies. They sit 14 points, only 2 points clear of the ruck of sides on 12, but only 2 points off the top four. How are you feeling about the way they're tracking at the moment?
Obviously, the win against Hawthorn was much needed after a couple of disappointing performances. I think we've been defending pretty well, but obviously lacking a few goals the forward line, but I think we do stack up well against the Cats, in my opinion. I feel like the midfield battle obviously going to be huge, and I feel like give us a real good chance against the Cats. But, yeah, much needed win against the Hawks last week.
Very good. And what about this week, Tom? You reckon you're a sniff against the Cats? They're looking all right.
Yeah, that third quarter last week was obviously pretty intimidating, but I feel like we got back to winning ways against the Hawks, and I feel like midfield battle, as I said, it's going to be huge. Sal Wood and Danger obviously put on a show last week, but Adam's in good form for us, so I feel like, yeah, definitely a big chance.
Definitely going to be a huge game. Thursday night footy again. The worry has to be for the Cats, though, doesn't it, Jack? Optus Stadium, big ground. We know that Geelong typically like the little narrow patch down there at Skilled Stadium. The SCG was sort of suited their game style last week. Are you worried about the wide open spaces?
Well, as I said last week, the SCG is our home away from home. And I think that Optus Stadium is our home away from home away from home. I do feel like we were over there a little bit earlier than Collingwood, besides, was it Degoe and Sidebottom? They got down there before us. The boys are pretty happy on the road, just from watching all the socials I suppose they're not going to post anything on the social saying
that. All the miserable stuff you expected them to post.
No, they look pretty comfortable, and I think the boys are up and about. There's a couple of good shows in the – do you call it an exhibition game? No. You call it the
scratch match?
The scratch match, yeah. There's a couple of good sightings in. I think Geordie Clark is ready to come back in. I think Jack Stevens had a good rest, really hoping he hits back to his St Kilda form. But, yeah, I think we've got a lot of people that can come back in and put on a show for the Catters.
There you go. Tom, what do you reckon? You got a few lined up as well, a few of the boys? Grundy, I reckon, might be set up for a big one.
Yeah, obviously DeGoey comes straight back in for us. And we had a few in the practice match, Braden Sire. He's primed to come back in. But, yeah, I guess need to see a bit more from Mason Cox. Darcy Cameron obviously looked pretty good on his debut. So need to see a bit more from Mason Cox. But, yeah, I think DeGoey comes straight back in for us. So,
Yeah, I don't know if we can stop him. We've got what Buse that can play on him or O'Connor, but he's a bit terrifying. So is Darcy Moore down back. He absolutely killed it on the weekend.
It's been a very tame version of the conference call here. Can we maybe throw some petrol on the fire? Who's going to win by how much, Jack? You've just knocked off Brisbane. You're the informed side of the competition, and now all of a sudden you're just being like, oh, we might lose to Collingwood. Like, give us something, Jack.
Ten goals
for the Cats. Tommy, what do you reckon for the Pies?
I'm not willing to go out on a limb like that. I feel like 5 goals seems reasonable, but yeah, 10 goals.
Five goals in these shortened quarters is 10 goals in the normal.
well, not if you're Carlton. We record big margins regardless. But I don't know, like, I know last week I sided with you, Jack, but I don't know. I'm thinking this might be Collingwood's, this one. As we spoke about before, the big open grounds, not to flip flop, but I did get 7 out of 9 in my footy tips last week. So
that means you don't know how to tip,
which is very strange for me. Three. Well,
as I've said, anyone that wins at tipping this year doesn't know how to tip.
Like, no, I'm not winning. I'm bottom.
I said it to someone yesterday.
Yeah, it was a plan. It was a plan behind you, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's not my motto.
I tend to agree that I got 4 last week, but I'm a shocking tipper too, so I'm on the bottom of all my competitions as well. Jake, maybe we shouldn't do a show.
Maybe we shouldn't, but it's not a footy tipping show. It's a footy pundit and Sam 60 show. So Ben, who do you think's going to win, Ben?
I really like your point about the ground. I'm going to go with the Pies as well on this one, just similar dimensions to the MCG. Not that the Cats play terribly at the MCG, but I haven't seen Geelong back it up. So they had a huge win last week. I haven't seen them really back it up. So, yeah, Pies for mine. In a pretty close one, though, a couple of goals.
I think it's meant to pour with rain too, I think.
One goal.
Thursday in,
we'll love that.
In Perth, I think. So that might, So the 10-goal margin might be out the window. I've just thought that. But hey, lads, enjoy the Thursday night footy. We've got a huge stretch coming up. Good luck over in the Perth hubs to both your teams. And we might be seeing one of you next week on the as the winner stays on. Jack, it won't be you, so you can have a break from all your Magoo's commitments, which I'm sure will break your heart, considering how much time you've given us in the past.
Do you want me to tell Ben from high school that I can't remember his last name just to hold off?
I would suggest just give him a wait and see.
All right, done.
Yeah, we'll call him. He shouldn't call us.
Okay,
ever.
Lads, enjoy the footy on the weekend. Thanks for joining the Game of the Week conference call.
Cheers, boys.
Thanks, boys.
The Magoos.
Benny, we've come to the end of yet another show. We've had a whole array of characters join us today, which is just fantastic. And I know that when we started recording this more than 12 hours ago, that's sometimes the process here at the Magoos.
It's been a long day.
We spoke about your man, Dylan Scheel. He has just walked out of the tribunal. Breaking news, the 2 weeks has been upheld.
Damn it. Upheld.
It's bad luck for you.
What can you do, Jake? It's, you know... some things are out of my hands. You know, I don't have the influence. I don't have the influence that apparently, you know, Mark Robinson has going on his show last night, saying it'll be embarrassing if the AFL uphold it. So of course they're backed into a corner there, and they have to uphold it, don't they? Because God forbid if they didn't do what the media tell them to do. I mean, this same media have a sook that Clarko, that the AFL bend their rules to Clarko, but then they've been bending their rules to the media for years. So stuff them. Well, should have been one.
Yeah, potentially. But I just want to, you just touched on Clarko then. And the Hawks, there's no greater rinse-repeat cycle than what's going to happen this weekend. And I know they're only playing Sydney, and I know Kennedy and Heaney aren't playing, but the Hawks are morals this weekend. And it'll be a Clarko miracle, you know, they'll win like 50-14 or something. And it'll be some sort of miracle because, again, in the paper they're questioning they're too old, they're too this, they're too that. And when they did it last time, they beat – was it Geelong they beat? And then, you know, someone. Like, it's just a rinse-repeat, you know, like, is he up for the rebuild? Is this, is that, is that? And then they win and they go, it's another masterstroke. So that's the thing, they're the same
as Carlton. And they've played hard teams. Yeah, exactly.
And like, and you said before, what, there's seven teams on 12 points. So,
I can't see him making finals, but I you know, asking for the arguably the greatest coach of all times ahead because he may not be able to rebuild the team is a bit early.
It's just the rinse repeat cycle. So that's what it is. Hopefully,
You don't mind a bit of rinse and repeat. Wash rinse.
Someone's got to do it. I mean, I don't do the washing, hey, Ben, we've done it again. We've nailed out another episode. Lockie Neal's still going to win the Brownlow, so all is good there for those who jumped on at $7. $2.75 now. You can thank me later.
Not worth it, man.
No, don't jump in now. Do not jump in now.
You're too late.
You've missed the price. So thank you, everyone, for listening again. Keep following us on the socials. You were good last week on the Instagram, Ben, with your video editing skills, so make sure you are.
Mucho gracias.
Keep up to date with that. I don't speak Spanish, so I don't know what that means. Make sure you keep up with everything that's going on at @themagoos_. Get involved, comment on our stuff, send us some DMs, whatever. We're always looking for people to come on the show and a bit of good footy chat. So go Blues
Even juicy again memes, too. If you want to send in some memes, because the memes tend to do well on social media.
Yeah, especially apparently. if you whack my head on them, they seem to draw a bit of a crowd. So
double in value, I love it.
Yeah, how good. Like, share, subscribe, all the fun stuff. Thanks for listening again, and we'll see you next week on the Magoos Podcast.
Bye.
The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos.